people connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
Today I want to talk about a subject that I've never heard preached before, and the grammar is absolutely horrible, so please forgive me. But if I had a title for the sermon, I would call it, You Do, He Do. Go ahead and shout, You Do, He Do. You know, all through the Bible, you find God saying stuff like, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, then he will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It's all these ifs, these stipulations. If you are willing and obedient, if you are doers of the word and not hearer only, there's just all these ifs. It's not that God doesn't love us. He does love us for sure. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be free. But then there's another level that a lot of you guys feel like you want to go to, but you're like, there's a lid. Here's this ceiling. I'm here to tell you that after this sermon today, the ceiling is actually going to be your new floor. God's going to take you from glory to glory, faith to faith, victory to victory. Get a hold of what I'm saying today, because it is a game changer. It's in this 10 series. Last Thanksgiving, Nicole decided for sure we were going to the Macy's Day Parade. That's just the way it's going to go. And I don't want to go out there in New York and wait in lines and all that stuff. But she's just like, no, you got to do it. And you owe your friend Buddy Cremines in upstate New York, Saratoga, New York. You owe him a favor. He's preached for you several times. He's begging for you to come. You need to go. Buddy's done an incredible thing. In the most unchurched population in America, in Saratoga, he's taken that city for God, and they're buying the Saratoga Arena. It's incredible. Give it up for the church world advancing. So I told Buddy, yeah, Buddy, I'll go ahead and go. So we did the thing, and then we got these tickets. And so the tickets, we got them, and now we're in Grand Central Station. So I'm running around, you know, look like Gomer Pyle, trying to find out where we're at. And I got my bags, my daughter's bags, Nicole's bag. And then, you know, all women, if they're going to New York, they're taking an extra bag for the stuff they're going to buy. You know what I'm saying? And so I told the guy, hey, wait, is this the train? Yeah, that's the train. Yeah, just, where do I go? Just anywhere, any train, just get on. And so we got on, and I kind of had to shove some people around. And there's this really nice little homeless guy, and he's kind of laying over on my seat, and, you know, it was okay, but it was just a train ride. As soon as I arrive in Saratoga, Buddy is waiting for me. Buddy says, hey, how did you like that train ride? How'd you like that? And I go, it was okay. He goes, no, how'd you like that private area with the reclining seats and your own bathroom and the Wi-Fi and then the people coming with the gloves? That had to freak you out when they had the white gloves and they brought your tea on a silver platter. And I was like, what you talking about, Willis? Say what? All the blood rushes out of Buddy's face and he's like, oh, please tell me. You're joking me, right? I go, no, Buddy. Let me see your ticket. I took the ticket and it says right here, just as sure as first class. I didn't read the fine print. I'm living back here in the back lands of this train. It's nasty. It's smelly. There was no nothing. And I had a ticket, and on the ticket, the whole family could have been there the whole time. But he was so disappointed that I didn't take him up on what he paid for. I've got a feeling that today that when you and I get to heaven, he's going to say, hey, what did you think about that when you called, I answered? What did you think about that blessed coming in, blessed going out? What did you think about your health springing forth speedily? Tell me what it was like for me to meet all of your needs according to, what? Oh, it did say in here, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. It did say in here that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, somebody. It did say in here that I know the plans I have for you. They're for good, not for evil. You got to read it, and then you have to believe it. Nobody helped me. You know what I did? I played the blame game. I blamed the train guy. He should have asked me where I should sit. We do that. I went to the wrong church. My pastor didn't read his Bible, so therefore I didn't know. You got to read it yourself. Look at your neighbor and shout, you got to read it yourself. Okay, so let's find this out. Psalm 37, verse 4. You do, he do. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Notice the first part is us. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Then God kicks in and says, then he will give you the desires of your heart. You do, he do. We've got a part. He's got a part. So when I was a little boy, my dad was a cop, and he loved motorcycles, and he raised me on those. When I was like 5 or 6, I wanted this little Honda 90, a Dave Munganess Honda over here on South Lindbergh. I wanted it. My dad said, save up.
After like a year of saving up as hard as I could, he asked me, how are we coming along on that? Because he knew I was being faithful. He knew I was doing chores. I was doing everything I could. And we counted my money, and guess what? I had $30. Anybody ever been there? The gap was really big between what you needed and what you had. So my dad, watch, you do, he do. He said, son, I've watched you be faithful. I've watched you rake leaves. I've watched you everything. And I've watched you pay tithes. And this is what you have. Tomorrow morning, this is on a Sunday, tomorrow morning you and I are going down there to Dave Munganass, and what you don't have, I'm going to make up the difference. Now, you just need to go lay in there and go to sleep, and then in the morning, you're going to wake up, and we're going to go. How many know I was up all night? Oh, my God. This is incredible. I can't wait to get it. Because I knew that my dad wasn't a liar. I knew he had the availability, and he gave me his word that tomorrow, if because I had delighted myself, because I had done what I could do, he would make up the difference. We went into Dave Munganass. My dad bought the motorcycle, and I enjoyed it, and it taught me a lesson about the goodness of a father. You may never have had a dad that did anything for you. And you're like, I wish I had a dad like that. Well, my dad was a great dad, but at the end of the day, my dad pales in comparison to the father that you have right now that says, if you'll do just a little, come on, somebody, I will do a whole lot. Come on, give God big praise. Yeah. And a lot of times you don't even realize the stuff that God's doing right now has a lot to do with something that's going to happen later. For instance, I grew up. And I got a call. Dave Munganass now owns Dave Munganass Lexus and Honda and the places, all this. It's an icon. And I get a call from Ed Reams, the guy we bought the bike off of when I was a little kid. And he said, they've given Dave up to die, and he's been waiting in the hospice, and what he really wants is for you to come pray for him. I had no clue that these guys have been watching it. They'd never been to church. So I came in from out of town. I went over to St. Anthony's Hospital, and there's pictures of him all over the wall. And Munganass is there, the great humanitarian. He helped build the hospice care center in which he's dying in. I opened up the door, and he's laying in this beautiful bed in a gorgeous suite. His wife is next to him, and he's only got a few days to live. And I sat in the bed next to him, and I said, Dave, let me tell you a story about the goodness of God. There was one guy who worked all day, and at the end of the day, he got his wages. Told him that story out of the Synonymous Gospels. There was another guy who came in just at the last minute, and everybody was mad because he got the same payment as everyone got who labored their whole life. And you might be in the last moments of your life, and you don't feel like you've done everything that you could have done for God, but I'm here to tell you that you're going to get the same breakthrough and the same blessing and the same opportunity that these people got because the Lord loves you. He's smiling. Then I told him it was really cool that you were in the Guinness Book of World Records doing wheelies and motorcycle stuff. In fact, when I was a little boy, I went in there and saved up my money and bought that motorcycle. Wish you'd have sold it to me wholesale. Maybe that would have helped you in this situation, but you didn't. At the end of the day, everyone must know when you commit your way to God, when you delight yourself in God, it's a click in the heart. And then God sends his favor on your life, and your heavenly Father, who is well able to bring breakthrough and manifestation in your life, he will do it. But if you get to thinking it's through your labor and it's through your toil, then God will not get the glory. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And one moment of his favor is like 1,000 days of labor. Come on, give him praise today. You do, he do. Verse 5, survey says, commit thy way to the Lord, there's your part, trust also in him, there's your part again, and he will bring it to pass. Notice, you and I just commit to God and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to do it. I don't even know why you're going to do it, but I trust you that you're going to do it. Then he will bring it to pass. I don't know how I got here. People want to sit down and take notes. Can we talk to you? 80th biggest church in America. How did you do it? How did you do it? See, I don't even have good grammar. How did you do it? What did you do? I don't know. I just kept showing up. And I just kept telling people that it's going to be okay. And I just kept preaching the happy Jesus, that God is for you and the devil is against you. And if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. And I just got into their world and let them know that God's not pointing the finger. It's this way. He's pointing the finger this way. And they go, no. What else? What else? Really, that's it. That's the big secret. Sometimes we're trying too hard, and we're not really committing our way to God. We're not really trusting him. We're trying to bring it to pass. If we can save our way out of debt, well, it would be good. If we could perform our way into God's love, well, we would be good. Here's the bottom line. You and I are going to do good for a while. I know you and I know me.
You're like, well, you don't know me. We've never been to lunch together. I know you because you picked Faith Church as your home. And part of the reason why you picked Faith Church as your home is I'm an encouragement to you because you're like, you know what? If he's that jacked up and he's a pastor, I'm not so bad. You feel comfortable here. Have you ever been to a church and people are like, you're going to hell today. If you don't straighten out, you're going to get hit by a cupcake truck as soon as you're going, and it's going to hit you, and you're going to go to hell with cream filling on your head. I'm telling you, why don't you come to church and be like me? And you're like, man, I know I'm going to hell. Three people told me I'm going to hell on the way here. I know I'm going to hell. You need somebody to say, it's not based on what you and I do. If we commit ourselves to the Lord and trust in him, he will bring it to pass. And the good news is we get to go to heaven. And the better news is we get to live heaven on earth. Right here, right now. You do, he do. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. There's another scripture I really want to read to you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know what I'm doing. I've planned it out. I plan to take care of you, not to abandon you, to give you a future and a hope. When you call, there's your part. When you call and you come to me and pray, I will listen. Everybody shout, that's good news. Verse 12, when you call on me, when you come to pray, I'll listen. Verse 13, when you come, there's your part again, looking for me, you'll find me. When you get serious about finding me more than you want anything else, get serious. I remember when I went through a divorce. And my dad couldn't help me, and my mama couldn't help me, and my church couldn't help me, and I was in a basement apartment in Baldwin. Me and my cat, no furniture, because it was all gone. I don't know if you heard about the new divorced Barbie, but it comes with all Ken stuff. I was there with no money, and I was down, and I couldn't listen to the radio, because when I listened to the radio, it would say, I'm all out of love, I'm so lost without you. Through the years, through all the good and bad. Come on now. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong. Oh, God. Then I start doing what everybody does that is like me. I just start eating comfort food, and I at least got comfort food. So then I just kept getting fatter and fatter, and then it wouldn't even go to the refrigerator for the exercise. I'd just bring the whole tub of ice cream in, stick my whole hand down in it until it was done. And then when there was no more hard shell left for the ice cream there, I'd just take the hard shell and pour it on anything. It works on whatever. Come on, you could put it on plastic. You're like, I'll eat it. Doesn't matter anyway. And then I realized, you got to stop this. I got serious with God. I said, God, I'm going to go back to church and I'm going to do what you called me to do, and come hell or high water. And then as soon as I got serious with God, the next verse kicks in. Verse 14, it says, I'll make sure you're not disappointed. Check this out. You do, he do. One step towards God, he takes a million towards you. Then guess what? I turned on a different radio station. And it said, at first I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking, I could never live without you by my side. And then I spent so many nights just thinking, how you done me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And then I got invited to a party. This shows you how old I am. I'm really not this old, but my daddy used to make me listen to it. Ricky Nelson, anybody remember that? I went to a garden party. I don't know why I'm singing so much, but. And I walked in. And I saw this beautiful girl. The party was at her house. And then she had this little 7-year-old boy. And he was just absolutely adorable. Come here, son. And I looked at him, and he was little. And I went into his room, and he looked at me like, I want a dad that's going to take care of me, and I still could use a dad. And then I just started spending time with him and loving him. And guess what? If you get the calf, you get the cow. Somebody ought to say amen. All the other guys were in there trying to play up to Nicole, and I played up to him. And she said, I've been looking for a man to take care of me, to take care of my son. And I said, one day he said, can I call you Papa? And I said, sure, your mama calls me Big Daddy. Call me what you want to call me. Come on, give him a hand. Now he's a pastor. Come on now. Now he's doing what God called. Somebody ought to give God some praise. I'm saying, if you do what you can do, he will do what you can't do. It's not over till it's over. God of the breakthrough is about to hit your house. God is about to turn it around. He's about to make all things work together for your good.
Drop that mic. Come on, somebody give him praise today. Oh, man, I got so excited. Oh, I got too excited. Y'all get me too wound up. Woo! Come on, sit down right now. I know some of y'all watching right now in Palm Beach going, I don't know about that. You come out on a Thursday night and let God start what he finished, what he started in you, and I promise you, he'll take you farther than you ever thought. I got to calm down. Calm down. I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I love this next line. It says, this is God's decree. Now let's talk about who God is. We're not talking about Donald Trump, great guy. And Mar-a-Lago, if you are walking in Palm Beach, that's a wonderful place, isn't it? Nice. Doesn't even need a last name. You just call him the Don. Oprah, you don't even, once you get a certain size, you don't even have to put Winfrey on that anymore. It's just Oprah. You get big, it's not Michael Jackson anymore. It's just Michael. You get really big anymore, it's just Prince. Just Madonna. Now, those are all big names. But I'm telling you, this name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, he said, I will not disappoint. Now, that's cool if Donald said that. That's really cool if your buddy bought you a first-class ticket to Saratoga. It's really cool if this person or that person, oh, do you know who I'm meeting with today? No, no, no. I'm saying that the God of heaven and the earth, the one that brings the sun up in the morning and puts it back down in the evening with no help and never raised the bill, I'm talking about the one that could get a water out of a rock, that could drop manna from heaven, that could split a Red Sea. I'm talking about that's the one that said, if you do, I do. Don't wait any longer. God loves you. He wants to finish this thing in your life that you're thinking, how in the world am I ever going to get it done? Listen, it's not you that needs to get it done. All you need to do is show up. When I showed up that day at Dave Munganess Honda, all I had was $30. Now, my dad took the $30, and he paid what I couldn't pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. And you owed a debt you could not pay. And Jesus is so big, and his blood is so over the top. It was an incredible overpayment for your sin. No matter what you did, it said that your sin absolutely is like this big compared to the blood of the spotless, matchless, wonderful, mighty blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was so powerful when it dropped from Calvary and it hit the ground, the whole earth began to shake and the whole moon stopped and sun stopped shining and it was black as could be because Jesus' blood, the spotless Lamb of glory, God Almighty, Emmanuel, God with us, his blood dropped. And then he said these words, it is finished. When he said it is finished, it didn't mean he was finished and I'm over. No, it means sin's ability to defeat you is finished. The enemy's ability to keep you back from your dream and what God has called you to is finished. I'm telling you, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. If you do, he do. And the fact is, I just heard him say this inside me. He said, I already did. Come on, somebody ought to get excited about that. He's like, okay, I could hear him in there going, I like what you're saying, and it's got a ring, and it's really cute. If you do, he do, but you got to know something. I already did. I already bought the ticket. You just need to show up and say, excuse me, I just noticed that I'm back here in this back section, and I just happened to look at that ticket. And I think maybe, just maybe, there might be a seat for me up in there. And they'll look at that and they'll go, okay, well, sure enough, you know what? There are four vacant seats right here. The Bible said that you've been seated with him in heavenly places. You have now been seated at the right hand of the Father, and all power and all authority and all victory has been given to you. And you and I are sitting back here going, this is a true song my dad used to sing. This is the way I was raised. My dad was an evangelist, and he played the guitar. Sick, sober, and sorry, broke, disgusted, and sad. I started traveling for Jesus and lost everything I had. True song. Then the next song would be, when we all get to heaven, what a glory. So it's hell here. When we all get over in the glory land. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go, we're sick, we're busted, we're disgusted. And then we try to tell people who are living a good life, don't you want to go to church and be like us? No.
I'm telling you that we are King's kids. Ephesians 2 said, for we are God's own handiwork, workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're on television around the world, and I never asked for money in 10 years. And we give away the DVD for free, and 177,000 people on average watch the program. How do you do that? You can't do that broke, but you can do that if you do what God tells you to do, and then he sends the resources to do what he calls you to do. And if he did it through me, he can do it through you. Come on, give God praise today. He can do it, you do, he do. Look at your neighbor and say, he's okay, he's all right. He's all right, preacher. Luke 10:40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made. She came and asked the Lord, don't you care? Story in the Bible about a girl named Martha and Mary. It said that Mary chose the good part. She sat at Jesus' feet. She said, I don't have to labor to enter into rest. Jesus is here. I'm going to enjoy him. Martha said, I got so much stuff to do around the house. We just got to make it all just right. And I just made all these cupcakes, and Jesus is here, and the house is a mess. And then she freaks out so bad, she goes to Jesus and, like, just freaks out, which you don't want to tell this to Jesus. You're supposed to be making it all for him anyway. And she goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, don't you care? Mary's not helping me at all. And then Jesus looks at her, and he says this. He says, Martha, Martha. Now, if God says your name two times, you're in trouble. I've heard that. David, David. He said, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. Mary's chosen the good part. Why are you letting yourself be upset, double-minded, struggling? This is the only life you have, and I won't be with you always. I'm going to ascend to the heavens. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and you're down here right now wasting all your time and all your energy trying to figure out how you're going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Anybody ever had one of those good cries and you're willing to admit it? I've done it. I've been married for yesterday, 17 years. I've had me some good cries. God, I don't know why. Just Nicole doesn't understand, God. I just don't understand, God. Why? You know, I'm a good man. I took her little boy. She didn't even have a father for that child. I raised that kid and I did all that. God, she won't even make me a Hot Pocket, God. I don't understand why. God, I don't understand. And then you're doing this in the bathroom, right? So she doesn't see you. And then you look yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, God, I look horrible. Oh, God, look at me. I know. It's just horrible. Come on, raise your hand if you're man or woman enough to admit this. That's what she was doing. God, I don't understand why you're not doing something about this. That's what you're right now. God's like, I already did. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in me. Commit your way to me. Make your desire me. Go to my house. Be faithful to my house. And some of y'all watching right now, you're like, well, it's 77 miles to go to Faith Church. I live in Delray. I live in Stewart. I live in Boca. I live in Florissant. I live in O'Fallon. Here's my word to you. A church alive is worth the drive. If God is speaking to you, come on somebody, right now through me, I might be the person that helps you get to where you need to go. You're like, well, it's just too far. I'm going up the church up the road because it's just close to the house. How's that working for you? You need to go to a place that's preaching the uncompromised word of God with boldness and authority and letting you know, hey, here's what the ticket said, and you're living back here and living defeated. I've been divorced. I've been broke. I've been unhappy. I've been betrayed. And then I read the ticket, and it says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. God's going to give you the desires of your heart. And what God's starting in you right now, he's going to push you forward to a new land of a new opportunity. And I promise you, a year from now, if you stick with what I'm teaching right now, here and there, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself a year from now because you won't recognize yourself. You'll go, who in the world am I? Trouble comes and calamity comes and you go, oh, that's light momentary affliction. Your Goliath comes to you and you go, hey, Goliath, I got a word for you. I've been reading. You come at me with spear and a sword when I come to you in the name of the Lord. You uncircumcised Philistine, today I'm going to release my faith right now. And all of a sudden you release your faith instead of your worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. The devil goes, oh, I just don't know if I can take it another day. The devil goes, hey, we got one more day. Some of y'all looking like, he believes in the devil. I don't believe in the devil. You know who told you that? The devil! There is a devil. There is a God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And I'm telling you why. Don't live hell on earth when your Father has already paid the price. Tomorrow's the day. He's going to take you in, pay the rest of this debt. Come on, somebody. You'll be driving in your mini bike with no payment. Shout,
I don't have to get it.
I've already got it. My dad got it for me. In Jesus' name. I'm telling you what, I sense this right now. I sense by the Spirit of God, and I know this sounds weird because you're like, okay, he just said a moment ago that God's speaking to him. That scares me. It would scare me if a preacher was your pastor and God didn't speak to him. That would scare me. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice and the stranger they not follow. And God said that he speaks to his servants. My whole life is about Jesus. I don't do everything perfect, but my whole life is about this church. I've went through hell and high water to help build this church. You wonder if I'm staying? Yes, I'm staying. I'll be here till I'm old and blue in the face. I'll be telling the same stories and it'll be fine because you won't remember because you'll be old too. And we just tell the same stories together. I didn't come this far to give up now. God has a plan and a purpose on our life and on our church, and things are going great. But even when they didn't go great back in the day, we stuck with it. And I got a sneaking suspicion right now by the Holy Spirit. He's kind of asking me to tell you this. I'll prophesy this to you and you. This thing that you've been going through, like milk, it has an expiration date. And I prophesy this to you. If you'll make one step toward God, you'll delight towards God, God will turn his face toward you and you will not be disappointed. I'm not talking what I can do for you. I'm just the delivery man. I'm just the messenger to tell you the plans God has for you are bigger than you thought. They're greater than your thought. And your life is about to come back in order. And God is about to make the devil pay for what he did to you. Somebody believe that today? Shout amen.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.